Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's Transfer Insight time. I'm Paul Machin. Neil Jones of Goal.com joins me. Neil, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
We got to see each other outside of the studio this week as well, didn't we?
In a football stadium.
With fans.
Fans and with a game to watch and all. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a shame that it was the most depressing of the two, only because of the Andy Robertson stuff. But it was nice. It was nice to be out.
And I got to see Tom the next night as well. So,
which I imagine was a massive lift for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was even better. Yeah, it was.
All right, well,
sorry, it was.
Jesus Christ, Neil. I'm sorry, right here. No, it was good. I was saying it really contributed towards me just feeling loads happier about life, because I went to the last game of the season, and obviously there was only 10,000 in that, but I think it being quite serious and it feeling like you're really at the end of like a really horrible marathon, whereas this was like just fans back in, really good atmosphere, a lot of happiness off the bat.
I think so. I think it was the club's sort of decision to play the two games back to back, and I think a few people were like, well, it's going to play two games in 24 hours, but I think it really worked. I mean, apart from the ticketing system, obviously, but I think it really worked, the idea.
Everyone was happy about the people, apart from the people who didn't get in.
Yeah, though, you know, the fact that, I mean, going through that, let's hope that's fixed by the first home game, but it was nice to see the sort of, that feeling back for everyone, not just you know, the fans, but the players, and I can definitely say the media as well.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. We're going to be talking Liverpool transfers, ins and outs today, live. If you've got any questions for Neil, then get them in and we'll get through some of them as we progress through the show and toward the back end as well. We're also going to be doing Transfer Insights Extra, as we do every week, streaming on the RedMenTV.com, just having a general chat around the mess that is the transfer market this season and any updates on a few ins, outs and contract situations as well. But now, Jurgen Klopp has spoken.
Yes.
And if you read the headlines, and the headlines only, and I will refer you to the headline on goal.com, we don't want any more players, Klopp insists he is happy with Liverpool's squad, which he does basically say.
Yeah.
But he does say a little bit more as well. I'm just going to read the quote before we dive in. He was asked about the transfer window. He says, it's summer and the transfer window is open and everyone expects some player signings. We'll see what happens. Let's go through the squad. Do you want to buy a new fullback, a new goalkeeper? We already have good players there. In midfield, we have players with lots of experience, such as Thiago, Fabinho, Henderson, Chamberlain and Keita. In addition, we have exciting young boys in Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones. In attack, we have Mane, Firmino, Salah, Jota, Shaqiri, Minamino and Origi. I've definitely forgotten someone. If you want to buy such players, you have to spend a lot of money. We do not have to do that because the players are already here, which is where you could get the original headline from. But he does say you have to make changes from time to time, but there must be room to do it. We do not want more players. I'm putting emphasis on the more there, even though it's not necessarily written that way, but for emphasis, if something happens somewhere, something can happen somewhere else, but it makes no sense to add more players. Now, like my reading of that is that I think if the season had to start with no, if you shut the window tomorrow, he'd probably shrug and go, okay, Sean, I'll work with what I've got. But the reading between the lines of that is kind of saying, I think if one or two move on, it might open the door for one or two.
I think you're right. The emphasis on the more, isn't it? So we don't need more players, but we might need better players to replace certain ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Shaqiri there. We'll come on to talk about Shaqiri in this show, but Shaqiri's not going to be at Liverpool, I don't think, come the end of the window. So you can take one of them. You can take one of the names out of there. But yeah, I mean, look, he's always said this, Jurgen Klopp, that's not... I know people lose their minds over it, you know, when something like that comes out, and I saw some reaction. Which it was as if he'd sort of said, you know, they were thinking of closing the club in October, and it's been a good ride, but we won the league, and we're gonna give up. But it wasn't really like that. And it's never been like that with Klopp. He's always said the same thing. He's never been one to say, yeah, you know, we're going to have to really overhaul the squad. Even when he first came to Liverpool, when probably he did need to overhaul the squad, and there's, you know, time showed.
Well, he was like, I love this squad. I'm really proud. I've got some great players to work with. And then, like, within three seasons, the vast majority
And then they've all gone. And then that graphic gets put up, doesn't it, of the Tottenham game that you know, and Conor Randall and Jerome Sinclair and Jordan Ibe and all of, Joao Teixeira are all on the bench. But I think he's right to say all those names. But obviously what he doesn't put the caveats in, apart from with the young lads, with Elliot and Jones, which is the caveat that they're young lads. He doesn't put in the caveat that but is he going to stay fit? Or Oxlade-Chamberlain, where's he going to play? Yeah. Or, you know, Minamino, you know, do I really trust him? I think he will give him a chance this season, but the fact is he was sent out on loan, and when Liverpool had very, very few players last season, he was sent out on loan. So I think you have to add those caveats in. But I think he would always say, and he has always said that, and we get, as journalists, and I'm sure you guys get the same, we often get criticised for sort of, you know, suggesting that Klopp quite likes his squad. I think there's always this idea that he's secretly having a real battle with people behind the scenes, and we're sort of hiding that or masking that or helping them to do that. I don't think it is. I think he genuinely genuinely think Divock Origi is far better than anyone who's watching this show thinks, or I think, you know, and he genuinely thinks Curtis Jones is going to be a star and Harvey Elliott's going to be a star, whereas it maybe some other people are less convinced by it. But, you know,
he's just not a whinger, and whether in his deepest moments when he sat at home, you know, he sat up at night and he goes, and he's watching another team play, he's watching a Man City game on the telly, he's watching the Super Cup last night, and maybe he thinks, it would be lovely if I had X, Y and Z. He's a pragmatist.
Yeah.
And he knows that all the things come with it. It's like, you could go to a football club that might give you that, but I look at Man City's unveiling at Jack Grealish this week. Like,
yeah,
Jesus Christ,
the most expensive signing in,
broken the British transfer records. Yeah. You've signed that, and look, there were decent amount of people turned up, but I think they were expecting an Alan Shearer moment.
Where you've got
that famous photo of Shearer, and he's got this sea of bodies behind him, and they were expecting that, I think. And you don't get that at those football clubs.
Yeah.
And Jürgen Klopp loves all that. He loves. He loves us, he loves the fact that Liverpool have got people like us. He loves the fact they've got your Websters and your Boss Knights and your Raps and all this and that. He loves all the things around it, and that's the problem, is that Liverpool have got all that. They don't have those things. So I think Jürgen Klopp is as a pragmatist.
Yeah, I know
sits
what you
at
mean.
Home and goes, I would love, I would love another five Boss players, but what would I lose? What would I be losing?
Look, he hasn't done it, has he? He hasn't really managed, massive, massive egos. I mean, Mo Salah is probably the biggest that he's managed in terms of, well, certainly in terms of profile as a player. I wouldn't say ego, but in terms of sort of, you know, knowing his own worth, Mo Salah knows his own worth, and he's probably one of those few players that could say, hang on, I could probably go to any of these clubs if I wanted to, you know, if I really pushed. But that's Mo Salah, who's still a real team player and still a real part of the club, and does all the dirty work as well as the goal. So I don't know, you know, it would be interesting to see what it'd be like if you give him a blank slate and said, bang, go on and go and buy who you want. I still suspect he'd end up with some players that people would go, him, you know, and he'd say, well, actually, I still think he's, you know, more than good enough. So, he does often talk a lot about stories when players signed, and the most recent, I think, was Ben Davies. He said, I love his story, and I love this. And obviously, Ben Davies hasn't played yet, but he's done it with Ox, I think, in the past. He's done it with Robertson, certainly. I think Gini Wijnaldum, he did it with, I like this guy's story, and I like this sort of, you know, this idea that there's a bit of an arc in there somewhere, that Liverpool is the culmination of this player, and they've really earned it the hard way, as opposed to just, you know, we've signed Erling Haaland, who's the best player in the world, and we put him in. You know, I'm not saying he is the best player in the world, that kind of thing. But look, I think he's a realist as well. I think he knows that they're not shopping in the same stores as Manchester City, and they never have been.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting that, but there's also a degree to which I think that people get carried away with the want sometimes, and because it's possible, because this is the thing, and we'll do this more on the extra show, by the way, because I think it's important to the state of the transfer window. I think people see Man City spending 100 million and go, why can't Liverpool spend 100 million? Yeah. And the reality is they've got a different checkbook. They've got a different ethos. They've got a different. They come from a different world to us, and that's shit in some ways.
I keep going back to it. I mean, if you looked, if Liverpool was signing someone this summer, I mean, let's just say anyone. Let's say Grealish. Liverpool were just going to sign Grealish, but the side to that was that Liverpool were letting go. So Keita was going to go, Mane was going to go, Minamino was going to go, and someone else, Jota, was going to go this summer, and they were going to sign Grealish and Kane. There would be understandable excitement about it, but there'd be a lot of people saying, Mane, you know, and that's probably what's going to happen at City. They're probably going to sell Gabriel Jesus, they're probably going to sell Bernardo Silva, they're going to try and sell Riyad Mahrez, and they're really, really good players, and that's City, who have got, like you say, the checkbook, and that they still have to do that sort of balance next. So for all that, I think City are doing well with them. City should be stronger, especially if they get Kane, they will be stronger. I don't think it's that damaging to Liverpool, City signing Jack Grealish, other than the sort of the prestige element to it. I actually don't think Liverpool are sort of, it's like one of them, you go, God, we've got to do something about this. We've got to react to City signing him. Yeah. I think it's just actually, they're just refreshing their roster of all-star players.
The problem Liverpool have got, of course, before we kind of move on to the Shaqiri stuff and what have you, is that you've got, it's all well and good, you know, we want more because we want to protect, because you mentioned that, like, Keita's injury proneness and Ox's injury proneness, and, you know, obviously the centre-halves, we don't know what we're going to get out of that this season, etc. But at the moment, we can't have any more players.
Is
the fundamental
that's what
to this.
Klopp's saying, basically, isn't it? We don't. I can't fill the bench.
It's not that he doesn't think he can improve. Improve the players that we've got necessarily. Yeah. Because again, we don't see it this way. And again, it's because the way that's been done by a number of clubs is making a bit of a mockery of this.
Yeah.
Is the buy first, sell later thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that for Jürgen? He doesn't deal with that.
Yeah.
So for him, he's got a board on his wall in his office that's got 25 spaces in it, and they're filled. Because he knows that's the maximum amount of players that he's allowed to have effectively. And I'm oversimplifying, because, of course, under 21s, you can do what you want with, etc., and their homegrown quota thing. But that's the point where that's the squad that he's allowed to work with. And again, I mentioned it, the state of Ozil, last season, was it when he was still there? He wasn't even registered.
Incredible.
Liverpool are not going to have...
There'll be a lot of players like that this season.
Liverpool are not going to have...
Yeah.
Enough, for someone, you know, they are... That's it, people who might say it's tight... But frugal or, you know, clever with the money, average, or you want to phrase it. If you have someone who you are paying money for but cannot play football for your football team, that's just stupid.
Yeah,
and that's what they.
There'll be a lot like that. I mean, you know, Chelsea played last night, didn't they? And there's been a big deal made about Chelsea losing a lot of young players. Southampton have seen to have bought most of them, loaned, whatever. But there's been a lot of younger players leaving Chelsea. Some, I think, one's gone up to Leeds, and Livramento went to Southampton. They're stuck with people like Timothy Bakayoko, Ross Barkley, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who good players. If you can find them right home, but at least Liverpool won't find themselves in that position. I don't think. Probably Karius might be the only one that they might end up with that you go, Loris Karius, whatever happened to him. And I still probably think he will move on. But you look last summer, they had to loan out Grujic and Wilson because they couldn't get rid of them. But even those players, they were sort of, that didn't feel like, what a down.
Yeah.
You know, what a downgrade that was. It actually felt like that was still quite a natural move anyway. You don't want your squad full of you know, unwanted players. You certainly don't want them Ozils who are knocking around on, you know, even on 60 grand a week and not playing. Never mind what he was on, 300 grand a week or whatever it was. So I think, you've got to balance it. And I think Klopp's interview there is perfectly legitimate. I don't think he's hiding anything. I don't think he's sending any coded messages. I don't think he's sort of, you know, doing any sort of underhand.
Are you happy
things
with Liverpool's transfer business and owners? Blink twice, Jürgen.
but you know what I mean. I don't think there's any message there to be had apart from what the quotes themselves, which basically says, if something happens somewhere else, we might be able to do something.
He's just not a
which is always what he
says. And there'll be plenty of managers. There's loads of managers who would go, I need this.
Mourinho.
I need
Mourinho,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And these guys have got to go, and they're dead to me.
Rafa would be the same. You know, imagine you can imagine Rafa doing that sort of, you know, the sort of knowing wink of like, oh yeah, I'm absolutely happy with my three cent midfielder. You know, like that kind of thing, or you know, no, I don't want another 20 goal a season forward. You know, that kind. But I don't think Klopp is that kind of person. I think he's quite relaxed about it. I think he probably would want an upgrade of an Origi, let's say. I think he probably would either want a cast iron guarantee that Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain are going to play 30 games each, be able to start 30 games
But it stands
each.
On them. What if they can't? Well, you've still got to sell them to someone. You know?
And look, no, Liverpool bought five players last season and they were all injured at some point. Two of them had finished the season injured in Kabak and Davis, I say. Four and loaned one.
Yeah.
Thiago missed a chunk of the season. Simicast barely played. Jota missed
a chunk of the season.
So, you know, you could react to an injury and buy a player, but he could be the injury.
I think that we did this on the build-up show today about, I think seeing two individual 11s completely separate made everyone go, oh.
And the bench. Yeah, you know, like, I mean,
I think the fact that nine
subs could be made and you could still say there's a debate over the subs, you know, you might have to make a tough call on one or two of those subs and go, you know, Joe Gomez might miss out, or, you know, Joel Matip might. Are you going to have four centre-backs in your squad? Nat Phillips is not going to be in the squad, you know, when he was the main man in the last couple of weeks of the season. You're looking and saying, well, Origi's probably not going to be in the squad, even the 20-man squad. You know, that's not... I mean, I know that's early in the season still, but it's not the worst state of play to be in, I don't think. I think Liverpool's... I've always said it, and I always get pelters for it. I think Liverpool's squad has always been a little bit stronger than people think it is. It's just mainly because they have some real players that you don't want to lose, and it feels like whoever you bring in.
Well, and also City are terrifying, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, which doesn't help, because we are scared of them. And why wouldn't you be in it there? Then if they're bringing people in, of course you would be. It's natural.
Yeah, and Chelsea have gone in a similar direction, albeit with, I think, overall less quality.
Yeah, it's true. The player that Jürgen forgot, by the way, I figured out, James Milner. Unless he's considered him as a fullback again.
Let's not go there.
No, God. So Jadon Sakiri, according to L'Equipe, has agreed terms with Olympique Lyonnais, saying the Swiss Liverpool winger Jadon Sakiri has accepted the club's salary proposal. It remains to find an agreement between the two clubs. Now, what we were getting was 4 or 5 million euros or
five
something.
5 million euros. I think it was six. I think DiMaggio said Liverpool won €8 million, which I'm told it's just not true, you know, in the sense of...
Well, talk us through this whole thing. So, Leon have
come in. I'm guessing Shaqiri's been given the green light to go and do what you need to do to find yourself a club, but bring the proposal to us and we'll, you know, if it matches what we want, then you can go and have a chat. He was left out of the squad, obviously, on Monday, which straight away you see that and you think, okay... But it happened last year with the Arsenal League Cup game. He was left out of that and everyone thought, oh, that's him, that's Shaqiri gone, and he didn't.
Yeah.
But I think that they were thinking, okay, you know, I wouldn't even say it's because his head wouldn't be right. I think it's just more, well, what's the point in playing him and you know, potentially scuppering his entire season, which is, you know, not unlikely to happen with Liverpool are concerned, you know.
But
Leon have come in. There's interest elsewhere, but I think Leon's financial package to Liverpool was, well, I spoke to someone about it who described it as ridiculous, as in a ridiculously low offer. It was basically £4 million, close to £4 million, which, if he was 35 and in his last year, I think that would still be probably on the skinny side for Shaqiri. Yeah. As much as he hasn't played much football, he was one of the standout players for Switzerland at the Euros. He's still in his late 20s. He's still got, you know, I would say, some miles left in the tank.
Yeah.
And I think Liverpool would be looking for, I would say, more than, close to or more than £10 million. I mean, the original one was sort of about what they paid, about £13 million. Maybe they might have to accept a little bit of a dip on that because he might be more desperate to go than others. But I don't.
Well, is that an issue, do you think, that where that does weaken Liverpool's hand a little bit?
Possibly,
in there,
possibly. And Klopp does, you know... Klopp and the club do like to sort of be fair with players who've done well for them. I know Shaqiri's not got the credit in the bank that maybe Lucas had in the past, or Martin Skrtel, or people like that who've left, or Lovren, where you go, come on, like, you know, we've squeezed every bit of juice out of these players here. Let's be fair. Mignolet would be another one, I suppose. But I still think they would be fair over it, and maybe it would be one of those structured deals where you get the sort of, you know, the 7 million plus four in add-ons and that kind of thing. They're just numbers plucked out of anywhere.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd be going for close to 5 or 6 million euros. And nor should he, in my opinion. You know, we talk about having players around who don't play. Well, I don't think Shaqiri would be that. I think Shaqiri, if they did have to keep him around, which I don't think they will, I think he could still be a more than useful.
I think he's one of them, and again, just to sort of what we're going to be talking about in the next show, but he's the kind of thing where if Liverpool had too many players, you'd be looking to get him for that. I think you might get a Shaqiri, and Shaqiri profile players. There's going to be Shaqiri level players, I think, going for ridiculously low fees at some point in the coming weeks and you know, this season certainly. But right now, you know, okay, yeah, the player wants to leave, but Liverpool don't.
Yeah,
go up to cost point. Jürgen Klopp would be more than happy to have Shaqiri for another season. 100%.
No, he'll train well. No, he's not. You know, he's a popular member of the squad. He's not someone who's sort of gonna, you know. I don't want to put Ozil into that category, but Ozil's quite, I got the impression he was quite an influential member of the Arsenal squad, so his mood would probably transmit to others. You know, he'd certainly have people within the squad who maybe would feel he'd been treated harshly or whatever. I don't get the impression Shaqiri would be that type of person where you'd lose two or three players because the way you treated Shaqiri or because he wasn't happy. And he's shown as well, you know, last season before, obviously the Champions League winning season, that he can come out of the cold out of nowhere and just produce the odd moments.
It's always better that way in some
I mean, that's probably his problem at Liverpool. Is I would always be tempted to have him on the bench because I think he can make a difference. It would be very hard for me to see a game where I'd go, I'd start him, and that's a Swiss international who's got a good pedigree career, so I can see why he wouldn't want to settle for that.
But it's a thing, when you look at the Harvey Elliott thing, which I think he's a magnificent talent, and there's a chance that he might go on and have a better career than Shaqiri. You have to do a lot to do that, to be fair to him. But like that thing of your right, pressure situation, you got a European Cup semi-final, final, and it's the fifth penalty. Bukayo Saka situation in the Euros. And Harvey Elliott might have all the same technical attributes, but I'd be giving it to Shaqiri over Elliott because...
I'll give you a decent example. I mean, that was in the same week, actually, wasn't it? But the free kick at Newcastle when Origi scores the header in the season they don't win the league.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think Harvey Elliott gets that this season. You know, I don't think in the second to last game of the season, when you're sort of 2-2 and you're basically the
title's
gone. Putting
your entire season hopes on an 18.
Yeah, and I think, but Shaqiri, and you'd say, well, Shaqiri hadn't barely played. I know he'd played in the Barcelona game a few days previous, but you think, oh God, you know, like I would be thinking, God, you haven't used me for three, four months, and now you want me to, like, basically, if I don't get this free, if I hit the first man with this free kick, it's like, what is going on? And he puts it on someone, you know, you can rely on his pedigree. So I think, I'm all that we're saying here, by the way, is basically to Leon, look, he's worth more than that. It's obvious, but I don't even think it's sort of, you know, Liverpool fans are great because, and all clubs fans are great, but Liverpool fans are great because they want the maximum sort of fee for Shaqiri, but you know, come on, give us him for less. Don't be asking 40 million for this you know, this teenage whiz kid or whatever.
Herein lies the beauty of Michael Edwards, really. Yeah. Is that, you know, you've got to play it out like that.
Yeah, of course. But I would definitely say in this instance, Shaqiri's being grossly undervalued, in my opinion. And I think Liverpool share the opinion.
People, our understanding of Liverpool squads doesn't change, but the quality of the squad does. So I think for a lot of us, you look at what the surplus requirements player. So I look at Jadon Shaqiri and I look at Divock Origi, and I can think back to countless Liverpool squads over the years of players who played the same amount of minutes as they will have done in the previous season or seasons, had a similar goal return over the seasons. But these lads are well better than them. I think about think about Andre Voronin. There's tons, like Antonio Nunes back in the day, or these lads who were just
John Joe Shelby.
Yeah, exactly. They were there, but they weren't good enough. These lads are, and you know, they're not that. And I'm amazed that there's not been more and higher bids, but it is the world we're in, I guess. But what do you reckon? Then this is just a matter of time.
I think. See if anyone else comes out. Obviously, there's been, you know, Italy, Spanish clubs interested.
It's mad that Lazio haven't been a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he basically sort of told them to, didn't he? Gave an interview to Gazzetta or Corriere dello Sport and said, I'd love to play for Lazio, you know. Mustn't Maurizio Sarri be right up my street, but it hasn't happened. So maybe that will be the case. I think he will move. I think he'll get a move. I think it'll probably be, again, we talked about Harry Wilson in the past, to me, about that sort of sweet spot between what Liverpool want and what people sort of go, is he really worth that? I think there'll be a compromise found, but I don't think it'll... Listen, I'd be amazed if it was anything close to 6 million or 5 million euros. I think it'll be far, far higher than that.
And there's still that point as well where, with a few weeks left in the transfer window, the only issue is maybe, and I've seen a bit of speculation on this, is that maybe Liverpool do push ahead with it if they're keen to get to fill that squad spot. So if they actually have something else lined up, this is like a chain style situation for anyone who's ever bought a house in that complicated nightmare where... They feel like they don't want to do, as we said, they want to do the business in the right way. Yeah. So they want to get the spot first before they go and fill it. Is the only way where I can see them maybe.
Possibly, I mean, again, but that depends on an awful lot of things in terms of, especially financially. You know, if Liverpool are paying a lot of money for someone, I'm not saying that they will or won't, but if they're, I still don't see them saying, well, let's just give Shaqiri away then. You know, I still think they'll look to and say, well, no, that's what he's worth. He's got a year left on his contract and we've got an option to extend it, so he's effectively got 2 years left from Liverpool's selling point of view. Let's get what we can for him and let's not be silly about it. They haven't really, I mean, there's not many, is there, that have left Liverpool in recent years where you've thought, oh, that was a bit skinny.
Yeah.
You know, the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about Jeremy Doku in 2 seconds. We had a couple of super chats. First off, we had a new member, TBN Freaks Clips. Welcome as a first teamer. Good on you. Tom E with the 449 says, going very FIFA career mode here, but 60 million plus Origi for Doku and Camavinga would be saucy to say the least. I mean, that is full FIFA career
FIFA career mode, yeah, That's Ren getting ripped apart, isn't it? I haven't really seen this Camavinga. I know he's really and a really exciting player, and I know that Manchester United have been quite strongly linked with him in the summer. So I haven't seen him, so I couldn't really judge about him. I saw a bit of Doku, obviously, at the Euros, but I mean these swap deals, money plus player.
The only one I could ever think of. I mean, obviously you could argue like the Kev Stewart thing has come up, but and I mentioned his name. It's the only reason why I get it is Michael Owen to Real Madrid, where they took Nunes, Antonio Nunes the other way as part of it. It was like, we don't want to sell him.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to money. That one. that went really well. Yeah,
Let's not do that. The detective with 150 Zars, don't know what that is, but that's great. Do we need a midfielder who can play the sixth position? Worried if we lose Hendo or Fabinho, we don't have depth there, as the other midfielders tend to play more advanced as opposed to holding. It's actually been an ongoing conversation we've had this summer, and I think it's been highlighted by pre-season that Milner's done it.
Yeah. But Henderson and Thiago are on the bench together.
Yes.
I mean, that's the fan speaking, isn't it? So what if we have two world class holding midfielders? What if both of them get injured? It's like saying, what if Tsimikas gets injured? You know, do we need another top class left? But you can't have three fantastic specialist holding midfielders. Yeah. Thiago can play as the six if needed in a certain type of game. I'm pretty sure Milner could play there in a Premier League game. I'm not saying for any long time. And Henderson obviously plays there. And you've got Fabinho. I don't think Liverpool needs to sign a specialist holding midfielder. You could probably even, I wouldn't even be massively surprised if Naby Keita could play as a number six in the odd game. If you have, certain players.
Just wait. I can see the reaction coming.
Yeah, but even, he definitely has played, certainly in a two. If you really look deeper, you've probably got Leighton Clarkson could probably come in and play as a two. You've got, you're not gonna have Fabinho plus Henderson plus Kante as the third. In case one of them gets injured, you've got to draw the line somewhere and say, we're gonna back A, that we're not gonna be quite as unlucky as last season, and B, that we've got other players there who can go and do a little bit more, or we can just recalibrate the score. But I think what it speaks to probably is Wijnaldum's absence.
And
the fact that he was such a chameleon, and in the sense he could do a little bit of everything. I think that's what a lot of people have been talking about, why Liverpool might need a midfielder, because he plays so many games and because he plays so many different roles.
I suppose you're right in that, and that's the tough thing, because we see Keita as a more offensive. Thiago didn't look brilliant in that when we saw him last season,
but he wasn't up to speed.
Of course the team was all over the place as well. To be fair, no, you're right. It's that thing, isn't it? I think it's whether that. I'd be interested to know if Liverpool did bring another midfielder in. Is it someone who can do that as well? So because that's what you're covering with the Genie. Because let's be honest, Genie Wijnaldum wasn't a very good six.
He wasn't PLO, or he wasn't, like I say, a Kante or whatever. He was a decent player, smart footballer who can do it. I know what you're saying about Milner playing in there, and I've seen a lot of hand wringing about that. I actually think he did all right generally in there, in friendly matches. But yeah, I don't think Liverpool need to sign a defensive midfielder. Certainly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's. We've got a couple of questions. We'll come to them in a minute. But let's do Jeremy Doku while we're here. Now again, the Shaqiri stuff came from L'Equipe, which is, often when you have to, I go through these kind of shows and you go on a website and he goes, you have to translate it, and you get some great translations, but they're often because they're just the mad things. L'Equipe is a pretty legitimate sporting organisation. This one's coming from all over the place. This one's coming from Liverpool Offside, SB Nation, and then initially reported by Vertball 24, and then there's a Belgian journalist who does have a blue tick, so we'll go with that. But LFC Transfer Room, we're also talking about this. Jeremy Doku, confirmed by Sasha Tovolieri, says, I can confirm Liverpool are targeting Doku and that if everything goes well, they will go further with Ren. They're already in touch with their sports agency regarding what they need to make space by selling players before making an offer.
Yeah.
On your understanding, anything on Doku at all?
No. Not the moment. I think he fits Liverpool. I think that's probably where a lot of these stories come from. And I'm not saying people are making it up. I'm saying that maybe there's an agent sort of saying, well, why wouldn't Liverpool want to sign at Jeremy Doku? Or obviously, a club like Rennes, I know Rennes are particularly well run for a French reputation, but I think there's an element of, well, Liverpool could obviously get a player out of Rennes. He's young, he plays in forward areas, he's quick, he's had a good Euros. Why wouldn't Liverpool be looking at him? And I'm sure they have looked at him. I don't believe that they're going any deeper than that at the moment. I don't see it coming to pass before the end of the window. Although if it did, I would say he's right in the hitting zone for Liverpool in terms of profile type of player, potential probably wages, and you know the fee might be high, but the wages would probably offset that. So there's a lot that makes sense about it, but apart from the sort of reality of the situation, which I think Liverpool, well, as of this morning when I'd done some checks, went so, yeah. About to sign Jeremy Doku.
Yeah, well, I love the way it's the phrasing and stuff. Isn't there? There's definitely a tone to how you write things if you want people to get like really into it. Is the make it? It had all the elements there, all the elements. You know, there's just enough of the truth in there. And
it's not for me to sit here and sort of say, oh, he's bullshitting yet, or he's lying to you, or he's doing this, whatever. Like, but from the people I've spoken to, and they haven't steered me wrong at all this summer, as much as a lot of people would have loved them to have steered me wrong, and I would have actually quite liked them to have steered me wrong with a few of the targets.
Yeah,
they haven't, and I don't. Well, as far as I know, Doku isn't imminent. Let's put it that way.
Okay, cool. Well, we had a couple of questions, a lot of them centering around the same player. Tyler Roberts saying we need Sanchez. Steve Blackburn saying news on Renato Sanchez.
Sorry, I thought there's a player called Tyler Roberts, isn't there? When you said Tyler, you said centering around the same player, Tyler Roberts. I was like, I've not heard anything about. He's played for Leeds, I think. Didn't he? No, I don't think we've done this before. I think the way it was put to me earlier in the summer by someone at Liverpool was, it does make sense on any level. For Liverpool, and I think that goes for the positions that he plays, the sort of type of player he is, who's he going to play instead of. You know, it's probably the players who are going to be given them the opportunity to show themselves this season, i.e. Keita, Elliot, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Thiago. You've got, obviously, a player who's expecting a certain status within the club, and I don't think Liverpool maybe could give him that status at this moment in time. Big fee, big weight. Well, not big fee, but big enough fee, big enough wages for someone who's not going to start. It just doesn't feel like one to me. I think, and it's a tournament player as well. It's another one. You know, Doku's in a bit of that category, but you could throw at that both of them. Same with someone like Damsgaard, but you say, well, you know, is their value just inflated because of what we see in the last month?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. Nathaniel Bennett says, do you think Ollie Watkins would be a realistic sign?
Well, in the sense of, do I think he's a good enough player? Borderline. You know, I don't think he'd...
He's not better than
flop.
The first.
I don't think he'd be like this one of them, like, why the hell have they signed Ollie Watkins? I think he'd do all right, but I'm not sure he goes into... Well, he definitely doesn't go into Liverpool's team. I don't think he's better than Jota as a fourth forward. And I think you could make a case that, you know, there's as much potential in Minamino as Ollie Watkins in terms of growth as a player. Probably the fee would be pretty high. Villa have just sold Grealish for 100 million. You know, Ollie Watkins was their top scorer last season, I'm pretty sure. I can't think of anyone who would have been any higher. English premium, we could talk about English premiums all day. I mean, Arsenal linked with 20 million for Aaron Ramsdale at this moment, which is just mind-blowing. But I think Ollie Watkins would be at least double that, probably. They've just signed Ings, which I suppose leads people to think that. Yeah. But I think they'll just move him into a wider position. They've got Leon Bailey, haven't they, from Leverkusen. Buendia probably playing the Grealish areas. No, I don't think it'd be a terrible signing, but I don't think it'd be a realistic one at this moment. Even though I think Liverpool were pretty taken with him. He scored, obviously, four goals against them home and away last season and played pretty well. I think he's got some Liverpool tendencies, but I wouldn't say so, no.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Well, there was just a quick one here from Chris Birkinshaw. It says, Paul, is it just me? Is this the first time for as long as I can remember that I'm not overly excited for the season to start? I feel like something's missing. The exact opposite. I genuinely feel like the...
That makes me sad. I was at a work meeting yesterday with goal correspondents over in Leeds, and those with Arsenal guy Charles Watts, great fella, massive like Arsenal background, you know, been going to Highbury and the Emirates all his life, and they're playing Brentford, and I said, oh, Brentford Friday night, eh? Nice new stadium and all that, and he was just like, this is going to be terrible, and that's Arsenal.
Yeah.
And it makes you think sometimes, you know. I'll drop another. This is like Neil's week, my diary. I got my hair cut.
Yeah.
My barber's a Derby fan. Okay. And I asked him, I said, oh, so your guys against Salford in the cup the other night? I said, bit of a drama. He just went, he said, yeah. He said, I have Liverpool fans in getting their haircut moaning at me that they haven't made a sign. And he said, we literally, we couldn't plan out where we were going to go to watch Derby because we didn't know what division we were in until 2 weeks before the season started. You know, they're filling their squad with play, you know, with either journeymen or youth products. You know, that the existence of their clubs a threat. So I can't believe a Liverpool fan would be in that anywhere near in the same zone as those people. I mean, look, I mean, you've got an Everton studio in here, you know, nearby. compare, you know, let's have a think. No,
they're trying. I'm hearing words coming out of Toffee TV. Like, I can't. If we go into the ground with negativity towards Rafa, then we're not gonna get anything but negativity. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to convince themselves not to go into the season. Just to Chris's point, no, mate. I think that might just be that you need a big hug off someone.
Yeah,
I get that a lot. By the way, that's cool. Go and find someone.
We'll see him at 8 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm pretty sure he'll be in a much better mood.
I certainly hope so. But no, honestly, I genuinely feel like the exact opposite. I felt I had an entire season of things missing. Like, and now it feels like they're all back. And DBS, just lastly, says, I'm tired of speculation of who's coming in. Do you guys reckon there's a team shape that includes Sadio, Mo, Bobby, Diogo and Ox in the start of 11?
That's FIFA career mode. That's
FIFA career. No.
Simple answer, no. Not unless it's sort of... Unless they're down they're going three at the back and just absolutely chasing an away goal, and not even an away goal this season, is that, and they're just chasing a win late on in the season, and it's just basically let's throw the kitchen sink. No, I think there's an argument to be made for the four, mm-hmm. and that might include Ox, it might include Jota, it might include, but the five would be, well, it would be heavy metal football, I think, is the way we describe that.
That might be a bit more.
Yeah,
more
I would feel sorry metal, for like, yeah. I feel sorry for the sixth of the other midfielder, Fabinho, there just sort of trying to hold back the tides on
yeah.
his own.
That's got like very short. That's a very short lifespan. That is, yeah. and that actually is what. And either way, I know you've never been not as big a footy manager, chapman thing, but that's like you go all out and then you get your goal and then you go, oh God, what do I do now? Yeah, and, you know, I've got too many attacking players on the pitch. Yeah, Jesus Christ, you end up with the centre forwards playing centre half.
Unless you talk about the team shape, maybe with Ox playing as an emergency right back or left back, yeah, and you think, okay, yeah.
There we go, we've got him in,
let's go.
Correct it. And just lastly, not related to what we're talking about, but Maroney LFC, YNWA, just wants to say Virgil and Joe to start on Saturday. Klopp said, I don't think he said that, did he? I think he said they're available
to start. I think one of them will start. I think it'll be Virgil. I think he'll be Virgil and Matip. I think that was sort of evidenced by the team he picked for the Sunday game against Bilbao. Yeah. Exciting, isn't it? You know, I've got to write a piece for this weekend about centre-back options. I've written 25 of them this year, and this is the only one where there's actually centre-back options to discuss, you know, rather than me saying, could John Achterberg play there? We get, you know, Linders looks
I'm
like
just looking
to
forward
the
to
the
season of not having the can you play centre half, Paul? But you said the point, there's a chance that one of Gomez, Konate or Matip won't even be on the subs bench this weekend.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I probably think with 9 subs he will go with both of them just in case. But yeah, you know,
hypothetically.
Yeah, and let's just, well, hopefully, touch wood, they're going to be unused subs at the very best if they are on there, you know. So it's sort of like, it's not a bad position to be in, is it, with having Joe Gomez and let's say Konate, if I think it'll be Virgil and Matip, which I do. Joe Gomez and Konate, your backup centre backs, you know. It's better than Man City, just put it that way.
Mm, yeah. Very much so. Very good indeed. Right, yes, thank you for your questions. Thank you for watching. Thank you for dropping a like on the video as well. If you want Transfer Insights Extra, don't worry, we're going to be recording it right now after we end this. That's going to be streaming on the RedmenTV.com. We're going to talk a bit about the Messi transfer and what that means for the world of transfers and the mess that the transfer market is in a number of football clubs, and similar like what the Grealish stuff means to Man City. We're going to talk about Nat Phillips, Divock, Nico, Tacky, anyone else to keep an eye on, any updates on contract situations as well. So do subscribe to the RedmenTV.com. And don't forget to check out our brand new Jordan Henderson book, 10 Years of Red, which is available. It's shipping. The normal edition is shipping right now. Ross is ferrying the signed editions up to the people who send it out as well. So, yeah, they're going to be going out. So, yeah, get involved with all that. And we'll be back with more Transfer Insight next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.